In this episode, discover how to master your prospect's attention span.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
Hey-o. What is up? What is up? All right, so I'm back in the studio. Listen, if you're hearing me right now, you're probably thinking, what in the world is going on with Todd's voice? My God. Well, on Friday, I spoke at my alma mater, the University of Arizona. More on that, but I spoke without a mic, and the mic was stationary at the podium, and this dude likes to work the room. So I'm a little bit hoarse. There was no lavalier mic. And then Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, I had a reunion on campus where 75 of my fraternity brothers from the years that I was there, we all reunited in Tucson and had a wonderful weekend. We had bar hopping, we went to a football game, we had a tailgate party, like all that kind of cool guy stuff. And my throat or my voice isn't weak because of the football game. By the time I got to the football game, I had already shut down the vocal cords. And then my friends were all making fun of me, like, what are you going to do, dude, if you can't talk? And, but Lord knows, you know, it's really interesting. I'm a couple of days away. Today is Tuesday, and the recovery's coming nicely, though it doesn't sound like it. Can we talk about your prospects decreasing attention span? Can we do that in this episode? You know, as video marketers, as sales leads, which make up the whole audience, all we're really trying to do is hack into that attention span and reel people in like a fish on a hook. And in 2015, Time published an article titled, "You Now Have a Shorter Attention Span Than a Goldfish." Quote, "The average attention span of the notoriously ill-focused goldfish is 9 seconds. But according to a new study from Microsoft, and remember, this is a 2015 article, people now generally lose concentration after 8 seconds, highlighting the effects of an increasing digitized lifestyle on the brain. Because right now we're insane in the main brain, right? And the article goes on to say, quote, heavy multi-screeners find it difficult to filter out irrelevant stimuli. They're more easily distracted by multi-streams of media, the report says. By the way, the article will be on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/215. We're on episode 215. Look at us flexing our podcast muscles. So, I mean, apparently we have shorter attention spans, which is interesting. Seems right, right? Now, is that why I can't stand being in a meeting with our accountant? I mean, let me just look over my shoulder. Oh, God, I see her right now. She's great. Like, I love her. Like, she's a big sister. But I think she would admit that as soon as I get into that meeting, I'm already bored because I no longer have an attention span. That's interesting. And as I mentioned a moment ago, I got back from Tucson where I had just a really great weekend. On Friday, I met with my clients at the University of Arizona and then spoke on campus at the SALT Center luncheon honoring the students with attention disorders that earned a 4.0 GPA. I mean, these were like rock star students with learning disabilities that are persevering on campus and showing people that they can overcome. Now, the SALT Center is the nation's leading academic support program for students with attention disorders, and their experts literally changed my life. I struggled miserably with attention disorders all the way through school, and now each semester, as a member of the SALT Center Alumni Advisory Board, I go down to Tucson to work with students during a weekend workshop. And when I was a student, if I was interested in the course, I crushed it. I mean, if I wasn't interested, I'd tune that stuff right out. And I'm going to tell you right now about some of the worst classes I had, because when I was on campus, they had too many students and not enough classes. Now, from a strategic perspective, I think that's rather smart because Well, they got us all to stay there for 5 years because it took 5 years in order to get all your classes you needed, because in order to stay a full-time student, you end up taking a bunch of junky classes that meant nothing to you. Like, here's my courses that I had to take in order to stay full-time. History of India and Pakistan from 1750 to present. It was like, today we're going to be discussing India and Pakistan. And how do you remember any of that, right? I also took Indian folklore in storytelling. I took the modern history of Israel from Jesus to independence. This class sounded like this. Take notes if you could. See what you could do with notes and how you'd write this. The professor would say, Achman Achana Acha went to Haifa to meet with Achina Hana. And they talked about, and at this point I'm like, I haven't even written the first person's first name, and they had four names. How do you take notes and prepare for a test when everybody's name sounds the same? Now, those classes sucked, and my attention span was non-existent. But the history of rock and roll, from a sociological perspective, now that class was epic. Why? Well, because, candidly, I cared, right? And as you know, what I've learned from my own experience and working with students is attention is selective. You're either interested or you're not, and I'm clearly not interested in accounting or Achmana Acha who went to Haifa to meet with Achahanaha. And I mean, you just tune this stuff out if it's not interesting to you. But you know what? I choose to focus on things that are relevant, that I'm interested in. And what about you? Does your attention tune out what you're interested in? Or does it tune out what you aren't interested in? See, the truth is your prospects aren't any different. And if they don't quickly feel your message, like in their heart, if your message isn't relevant to them, they're gone and they're not sticking around. And when I'm speaking, when I teach the underlying forces that are shifting buyer behavior and how business leaders need to respond to compete for attention now and into the future, the real challenge businesses have is getting the right people to pay attention long enough to get through their marketing message so that they feel enough certainty to make a purchase. Now, most business leaders have a lot to say to get somebody there, which feeds a false limiting belief that they need a salesperson to deliver their message, because people that they're trying to sell to don't have an attention span for long content. So, I mean, that's one of these limiting beliefs that businesses and their leadership carry around all the time. So the first thing I do when I'm working with clients, when I'm standing up in front of a room, is I break this false limiting belief pattern by demonstrating that people have endless attention spans when things are relevant, interesting, and easy to binge, as Netflix, YouTube, Facebook have all demonstrated. So instead of blaming people for shorter attention spans, which isn't true, we want business owners to accept that they might just be bad at earning and holding attention. Now, as a keynote speaker, I'm obsessed with hacking audience attention, and that just doesn't start when I walk in the room. First, I work with the event planners to break down the audience into a persona group. In fact, just this morning, next week, I'm speaking in San Diego, and I'm speaking at a national sales meeting for a medical company. And I'm teaching their sales reps how to, one, identify what persona group their prospect is in, put them in the proper sequential funnel, so the assets that we've already created, which are email drip sequences, go off to that person without a hitch, and that it's hyper-relevant, because I know about attention span. Right? I've been studying it my whole life. And then the next thing I'm going to be teaching them is how to use their videos situationally, like Tom Brady calls the appropriate play at the right time based on the situation, based on what the defense is presenting, and how sales teams need to do the same thing. But then I'm also going to be teaching them how to hack into their prospect's attention by using video. In fact, just right now, I got a text message from past president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons, Dr. Jay Harness, co-founder of Breast Cancer Answers with me. And he said, I'm sitting in the Admiral Club here in Phoenix waiting for my flight to Detroit. He's a Michigan guy. And are you available for a call? And I fired him off this little message. I did a video. This is exactly what I'd train salespeople to do.
Studio, I'm about to record my next podcast episode. So I understand you're in the Sky Harbor Airport. I love it when you drop me a note every time you do that. I wish I had time to talk. Feel free to text. I'll reply back when I'm done podcasting. I guess that's what it's called. All right, bud. Love you. Bye-bye.
I do. I love Dr. Harness. He helped save my wife's life. And this is October. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, right? This is the guy who sat on Skype with my wife and I every night and talked us off the fence. So what did Harness reply back? He said, so cool to get a video. Thumbs up, smiley face. Another thumbs up and smiley face. I got two thumbs up and two smiley face. That's how cool it is to get a video. Now check this out. I train the sales team how to do the same thing. Because if they can hack into their prospect's attention span and do something that's so cool, right? It'll be memorable. And it's a much more personal way of engaging. And then I show them how to track on the back end. And right now, I'm going to go to my browser and open up my Wistia account because I am tracking somebody. I created a video for them. Wait for it. Okay, they haven't seen it yet. I just sent it over to them, but I'm tracking on the back end. This is literally somebody that I'm doing one of the biggest projects of my life with that also includes an international speaking opportunity on mega stages, and I'm waiting for them to see my new demo video that I created for them about the speech that I want to give to them. By the way, when I announce this big news, it's going to be really exciting. I can't wait, but I'm eager to see when they look at the video and what type of attention span they give me, because that is my covert way of tracking, right? So all of that is going down behind the scenes, and I'm kind of like playing a video game, just sitting here watching it. So I'm obsessed when I'm speaking. I'm obsessed with training salespeople and marketing people how to use these tools. And recently I spoke at the International Spa Association's conference in Vegas, and I asked the event planners to break down that room for me. Who's going to be there? What are the persona groups? And what they told me is there are three types of executives at this conference. And these executives are for resort spas. Okay. So, you know, you think about it. I'll give you a little lowdown in just a few moments, but on what these spas are like. But here are the three personas: mom and pop spa owners. That's one of them. Medium-sized spa owners, and then the third is mega spas that you would see at like the largest resorts in the world, like the Four Seasons or Fairmont or the Ritz-Carlton or something like that. And to make sure that my information was hyper-relevant to everyone in the room, because my job is to consistently command attention, I have to provide an example that's hyper-relevant for each of the three different types of people that are going to be in that room. And that's a lot to juggle when you're standing up. But, you know, clearly as a marketer, I'm focused on optimizing that audience attention when people are seeing our clients' ads, the content, the customer journeys. All of that needs to be hyper-relevant. And I think the awareness of making sure that relevancy is tied to the content so I could command their attention, I think that might be the reason I've been so successful over the years. You know, I recognize that people have unique needs. And if you talk with them like unique people with specific pain and frustrations and concerns, they will lean in when your message is being told. But I'm not sure about this whole goldfish attention span thinking. I hear about it. I've read the articles. But here I am, somebody who studied attention from myself and from my coworkers, and then as a leader teaching students. So anyway, I was looking around on this. I wanted to bring you some of the latest information. I saw this interesting article in the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, written by Simon Mabin, who also have his article on the show notes page for episode 215. And Simon wrote, "Everyone knows our attention spans are getting shorter. It's just obvious. In the always connected world of social media, smartphones, and hyperlinks in the middle of everything you read, it can feel that much harder to stay focused." Now, did you see how I kind of paused there for a moment? I've said, "in," and then I dropped a little dead air. Because while I dropped the dead air, what I wanted you to do is think about your options. Am I going to stay around this? What's going on with Todd? Did his voice just give out? Hey, maybe I should go check to see if XM Radio just had Howard come back from commercial. Like, I want you to have those thoughts going around your head, because that too is, you know, your attention. And so going back to this article written by Simon Mabin, it's you know, the stats are that they say that the average attention span is now down from 12 seconds in the year of 2000 to 8 seconds now, and that is less than the 9-second attention span of the average goldfish. Now, you might see those stats in Time magazine, the same ones in The Telegraph, The Guardian, the USA Today, The New York Times, or The National Post, and maybe you heard a Harvard academic citing them on US radio. But if you pay a bit more attention to where these stats come from, the article says, the picture is actually much less clear. All those references lead back to a 2015 report by Consumer Insights team of Microsoft Canada, who surveyed 2,000 Canadians, and also studied the brain activity of 112 people as they carried out various tasks. However, the figure that everyone picked up on about our shrinking attention span did not actually come from the Microsoft research. It appears in the report, but with a citation of another source called Statistic Brain. A quick Google search, and it's easy to find out where they got that from. The Statistic Brain website looks pretty trustworthy too. As if to prove it, the number levers at Statistic Brain source all their figures, but the sources are really vague. And when I connected the listed sources, the National Center for Biotechnology Information at the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the Associated Press, neither can find any record of research that backs up the stat. Now, that's interesting, right? As a former investigative reporter, instincts tell me that, geez, that whenever there's something interesting, you're supposed to dig around that spot, because typically there's some kind of treasure. Now, my attempts to contact Statistic Brain came to nothing, says Simon Mabin. And he goes on to say, "I've spoken to various people who dedicated their work and lives to studying human attention, and they have no idea where the numbers come from either. In fact, they think the idea that attention spans are getting shorter is plain wrong." Quote, "I don't think that's true at all," says Dr. Briggs, a psychologist lecturer at Open University. Quote, "simply because I don't think that that's something that psychologists or people interested in attention would try and measure and quantify in any way." Dr. Briggs has done extensive research on how dual tasking affects attention spans, such as when drivers use their phones. She studied attention in drivers and witnesses to a crime, and says that the idea of an average attention span is pretty meaningless. Quote, "It's very much task dependent. How much attention we apply to a task will vary depending on what that task demand is." Oh, this is interesting. That's kind of like a video. Like, how long should a video be? Well, it depends based on what the task of that video is, right? The article goes on to say that there are some studies out there that look at specific tasks, like listening to a lecture. But the idea that there's a typical length of time for which people can pay attention to even that one task has also been debunked. Quote, "How we apply our attention to different tasks depends very much about the individual and what they bring to that situation, explains Dr. Briggs. Stop the clock. Did Dr. Briggs say attention is dependent on what the individual brings to that situation? That's interesting, right? We've got a wealth of information, she goes on to say, in our heads about what normally happens in given situations, what we can expect, and those expectations and our experiences directly mold what we see and how we process information at any given time. The article goes on to say that some suggest that evidence of ever shorter shot lengths in films shows attention spans are dwindling, but the academic behind that research says all it shows is that filmmakers have gotten better at trying to grab our attention. And there's something else fishy about those attention span stats. It turns out that there's no evidence that goldfish or fish in general have particularly short attention spans or memories, despite what popular culture suggests. So I think that's super interesting. And then I saw this article from Dan Milano, January 1, 2019. Dude just jumped on the new year and dropped this article. He says, quote, for something to become a scientific law, it must be rigorously tested and repeated and then observed. And once it's an established law, we can count on that phenomenon to occur across all types of conditions. Marketing has its own set of laws. You know, there are four P's. Find your unique selling point. Lead with value. Focus on the customer and keep it short, because our attention spans are now shorter than that of a goldfish. Most of these were developed over decades of trial and error, and most of us rarely question their origin and veracity. But there's a big problem with one of those laws that the article just mentioned. Quote, the goldfish one is not true. It has no basis. It's seemingly pulled out of thin air. It is a load of carp. Right? And if you're familiar with the idea that the internet is causing our attention spans to shrink and that they're now 8 seconds long, which is supposedly shorter than a goldfish's attention span. Now, this claim, which can be found in reputable publications all over, as my mom would say, the internet, is built on evidence that is shaky at best and at worst completely fabricated. It relies on assumptions that cannot be safely made and falls apart under the most basic observations. Now, here's what I love, this part right here. Think about it. If our attention span is rarely 8 seconds, how are Netflix binges even a thing? How was the hit of the summer a 45-minute long music video? Why are more people spending longer hours playing video games? If this whole goldfish theory is true, none of those things would even be possible. So why do I, meaning Todd, always have to violate the conventional wisdom and be contrarian? You know, I didn't ask for this responsibility. It is a total burden. And every day I dispel myths like videos should be shorter because people don't have long enough attention spans, right? This is like one of the most common ones. It happens in almost every conversation with me. And as a marketer, I am focused on audience attention. And that's why in this episode, I want to shatter that false belief that attention spans are getting shorter and that our attention spans are so short that goldfish can spend longer time. It sounds like we got some fake news on attention span. Now, here are some things that Wirebuzz does to command attention and retain audience interest in our content and our videos. We keep our content hyper-relevant to the target audience, and often that means acknowledging there are two types of traditional marketing that no longer work. Listen up. The first is product-centric marketing. Now, if you think that your prospects are interested in your product and you want to create your pages and your content around the product, well, you're a contributor to your own problem. Nobody cares about your product. You know what people care about? They care about solving their own problems. And a smart marketer first aligns with the most important item and transition their prospects through five highly personal but replicatable steps. Number one, first step. What does this target customer care about today? Remember, alignment is the most important part. Step two, what is the real problem which your product or your solution solves that fulfills the surface level desire in step one? Step three, what are the bad options for getting it, which are your competitors? This is where you tear down the competitors and you do that in a classy way so you can successfully introduce step four. What is the best solution? And that obviously is your solution, right? Now, you can't go immediately to step four. That's what most marketers do, and they can't figure out why their marketing sucks. Now, step five is what are the lingering questions or doubts that need to be knocked down about your product or your solution for your target customer to take action? But making all of your prospects go through that same information doesn't work. Why? Because of the second type of traditional marketing that no longer works, which is one size fits all marketing, where the company provides one path that's designed to service everybody, just a free-for-all smorgasbord of all this information, and you go through it and figure it out on your own. That doesn't work. And the reason it's an epic fail is because the secret to hacking attention span is being hyper-relevant to the person that you're targeting. So one-size-fits-all marketing messages and product-centric marketing no longer works. And when something doesn't feel relevant to you, what do? You hit the eject button, your attention span loses interest, and then you bounce onto something else that commands your attention. Now, the reason why you're crushing YouTube videos and Netflix is because that information is hyper-relevant to you. And with your selective attention, you're always deciding if something is interesting or relevant to you. So if you want to dominate in this new era, if you want to be the big boss who sells and just crushes, if you want your marketing messages to be binge-worthy, and you want your ad dollars to be super efficient and to close more deals than ever, then you have to make your messaging very relevant to your target customer. And when we make things relevant, people reward us with their attention, right? And hyper-relevance starts with identifying your personas, laying them out, and creating personal journeys for each of your different types of customer personas. With your personas, go back to the five steps that I outlined just a few moments ago and lay out one persona at a time and take each persona through the following five highly personal but replicatable steps. Go back if you need to rewind to listen to that. Now, relevance dominates attention. Now, this is why if I'm watching college football, let me see if I can get my Keith Jackson voice here. If anybody knows Keith Jackson, knows of him, retired sports announcer, God bless him. Whoa, Nelly, this one is coming back in the Alabama Crimson Tide with the football. See, what happens is when I watch that, I'm like, oh, I'm not really interested in the Alabama Crimson Tide. Instead, these people are so funny. Yeah. So I'm recording a podcast right now, and I just looked through the glass into the conference room, and everybody started looking at me. There's one person in the conference room that I don't know. I just see the back of his head. So I'm sitting here riffing on the podcast. I'm waving my hands like a conductor in front of the Philharmonic Orchestra. And then I peered over my right hand into the conference room, and everybody there was smiling at me. I guess they were saying, oh yeah, that's our CEO, Todd. Da 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 da. He's recording his podcast. Look at him. He's a raving lunatic. So when Keith Jackson or somebody else is calling college football, because Keith Jackson's now retired, God love him, I'm not really that interested until it switches to the University of Arizona football team. And then it's hyper-relevant. And you know what happens? My attention span goes through the roof and I'll watch the whole game, even if it goes into overtime, right? And at no point did I say to myself, oh man, I don't have the attention span for this because I don't have the attention span for less than a goldfish now. I didn't do that. So we always want to be hyper relevant. Relevance dominates attention. And besides making unique versions of your videos that are hyper relevant to the different customer persona groups that you're trying to influence, Wirebuzz also applies tactics that make our videos more interesting and engaging to those audiences. Let me rattle a few of those off. We use A-roll, which is the footage of the interview or the dialogue, and we use multiple cameras to cut between them, which helps keep the brain engaged. Second thing we do is we film B-roll, which is the footage that makes the A-roll more interesting and aids the imagination of the viewer. And if your video is like, let's say for Dr. Harness, who's right now sitting in the airport waiting for me to call him back, if our video is for surgeons, we show B-roll that's interesting and relevant to surgeons, right? They want to see the equipment. They want to see the lighting that people are using, their colleagues. They want to see how many people are in that room. The third thing we do is tempo. We cut between footage to keep the audience visually stimulated, right? And that often means a little faster cuts back and forth when appropriate to stimulate the brain. We use music when relevant and set the right emotional vibe. Number five, we dog whistle. And when we dog whistle, they just looked at me in the other room. When we dog whistle at the start of the video, it's like if we're doing the surgeon thing. If you're a surgeon that's experiencing, it's like, whoa, that's for me. I almost dropped in the S word right there. And so we do that because the viewer knows with certainty that that video is for them. And the sixth thing we do is we provide a CTA, also known as a call to action, that is hyper-relevant to the audience's needs, their wants, their concerns, and their frustrations. And if you do that, amazing things happen because now the content feels like it belongs to you as the viewer. And when you do that, you actually start mastering your prospect's attention. Now, when I was a younger marketer, even when I started this company, and somebody said, oh, well, why don't we draw out our personas? And I was like, oh, no. That is a whole hell of a waste of time. And I pushed back because I was like, that's not a good way to do it. That's what are we going to do? Create five pieces of content because we service five different types of customers. And then I saw the ads. And then I saw the bounce rate. And then I saw the time on page. And I thought, well, I mean, I know our content is great. I know the page is set up the right way. And then I thought, well, we can't possibly pay this much for ads to convert a customer. And then it became, well, why don't we test the persona path? And when then you go ahead and test the persona path, you start to see that by creating hyper-relevant information and you direct the right type of prospect to that information, they buy más rápido, right? Which means less leakage. And before you know it, your ad dollars are now efficient. People are buying at faster rates. And amazing things are happening. If you want to discover how to master not only your prospect's attention span, which I broke down in this episode, but to know how to master the right topics for your business, we created a topic selection worksheet. It's available to you as a listener of this podcast for free, and you can get access to it and just work through that topic selection worksheet. And by the time you're done, you will know the exact types of videos you should be creating. You can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/topics. And if you're struggling to figure out how to guarantee that your videos create a return on investment, aka ROI, well, we created a 5-part web-based video mini course featuring yours truly teaching the Wirebuzz secrets for commanding attention, providing the right information, moving people through that information so buying becomes an absolute friggin' no-brainer. And you can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/ROI. 5 pieces, 5 videos that'll be sent to you. and you'll be able to go through them. I will teach you personally those secrets, and it'll change the trajectory of your business. Wirebuzz.com/ROI is where you get access. And if you want to get your hands on the attention span data, I mean, if you've got the attention span for that data that I talked about in episode 215, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/215, and it'll all be right there at your fingertips. On behalf of the Wirebuzz crew, the big nerd Marcus Krieg, who was just walking around here somewhere, the people in the next room that are watching me wave my hands like a lunatic, and Dr. Jay Harness, who's waiting for me to call him back. My name is Todd Hartley. Thank you so much for your attention. Woo-woo! And I look forward to bringing you more information right here on Video Marketing Mastery. Peace.